The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, December 18th. That sounds right. And it's time to review the insanity that was the Raiders and Chargers matchup on Thursday night, the final Thursday night game of the season. That means this is the final Thursday night recap of the year. John Breach, Ryan Wilson, how excited are you that we don't have to recap Thursday night in any form or fashion for the rest of the season, rest of the regular season?
It was a nice surprise for me. I didn't know about it until about 5 p.m. on Thursday. It's like, oh, this is the last Thursday night game. Let's make sure it's a barn burner.
Yeah, because we have a Friday. So here's the, oh, sorry,
Breach. We have a Christmas Day game. So it's a nice trade-off. We lose the Thursday, but now we have Christmas Day football. We're not going to be talking to our families. Me, Brinson, and Wilson are celebrating Christmas together on Zoom. We got each other presents and we're going to dress up like elves. That's my understanding.
That is incorrect. You have incorrectly identified the schedule.
Well, then I think Debo sent me an email about this elf thing. So I had to humiliate myself.
Yeah. He wanted you to dress up like an elf. So you'd look like an idiot on Zoom.
We're supposed to dress up like reindeer.
So here's the plan for next week. Normal schedule, except Ryan is going to fill in with Brady Quinn. And then we're not going to recap on Friday the Christmas game. We're going to put it together with the two Saturday games, or three Saturday games, I guess it is. And we will recap all those on Saturday night, the 26th. And then, of course, everything will be normal going into week 17. So really not a whole lot changes from the podcast perspective. Yes, Ryan.
Question, or maybe this is for Debo. Are we recapping Saturday night the 19th after the two games on this
Saturday? We are.
Okay. I hope.
Saturday night for week 15?
Tonight, it is currently Friday. Tomorrow night, on Saturday night, we will be doing a podcast recapping the two games.
Woot, woot. Big trust.
Breach looks shocked.
Look at Breach's face. No more dressing like Santa Claus or Breach on the 19th.
I will. Right, so let's get into it though. 30-27, the final in overtime. The Chargers beat the Raiders, effectively snuffing out Las Vegas's playoff hopes. They are now 7-7. The Chargers, unfortunately for Chargers fans, all 17 of them, are probably now that much closer to keeping Anthony Lynn. As a result, they moved to 5-9. Justin Herbert was fantastic again. I don't know what else you can say about this kid. He was awesome. Unfortunately, for reasons we'll get into, Anthony Lynn continues to defy basic football logic by not letting his quarterback loose.
By the way, quickly, before you go on, I know something I can say about Justin Herbert. I'm sorry.
Yeah, is it time to apologize and just say
I apologize
sorry?
Every week to Justin.
I'm talking about me. Like, I won't admit it to Pete.
Oh, okay.
I know people won't listen to this podcast, so I'm willing to admit that I think I'm probably wrong about Justin Herbert.
All right, go ahead. I just want to get that in.
All right, but before we get there, look, the bigger story was an injury that could dramatically change the outcome of,
nothing.
A division. And that leads me to bring up a bold prediction from the past.
The Cowboys will be 3-3 if
not that one.
They didn't have a pass tonight.
I was actually thinking,
is that Marcus Murray? Is going to go to the Vegas, take over the job from Derek Carr. I talk about that every day. But a bold prediction, and hopefully the Raiders trade for A.J. Clyde. But if they don't, Marcus Mariota is going to take over the job and lead the Raiders to the playoffs.
Wow. Now, that was from March 24th, 2020, I mean, like 7 days into the pandemic. Ooh. Yes, Breach.
Oh, I just want to say something real quick.
If you go to AJ Klein before I finish saying this.
Okay. I won't go to AJ Klein yet.
We'll get to that, Brief. That was March 24th, 2020, like 7 days into the pandemic. Everything had just shut down in like the last 7 days. We were doing the Pick Six Podcast Daily Show. That was Wilson. We were doing bold predictions And Wilson's bold prediction was that Marcus Mariota would take over the Las Vegas Raiders starting quarterback job. Here we are, fast forward.
9 months.
9 months, almost a full 9 months to the week. And
I'm going to have a baby.
That's right.
Full gestation for Marcus Mariota.
And well, let's not celebrate it. Derek Carr tore his wiener. He suffered a groin pull, clearly a groin pull, and he was ruled out quickly. You could tell as soon as it happened. Like this podcast is not a pro Derek Carr podcast, but this sucked. I mean, he was having a really good year. He was playing really well in John Gruden's system. He's probably done for the year, would be my guess right now, based on how quickly they ruled him out. I'm not a doctor. I would be surprised if he comes back if they're 7-7 and he has muscles torn off his groin, right?
Yeah, we don't know the severity of it, but I will give you credit for getting the groin pull right since he grabbed his groin as he fell down and rolled off the field.
I mean, thank you. He didn't roll off the field. He was scrambling to the right near the red zone and went, and you could just see it. I've never ripped a tendon off my groin, but that was the look of a man who had had muscles detached from his groin area. He knew that his week was over and his season was over. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, it's worth wondering without, you know, getting all discussion-y about the contract, is his career as a Raiders quarterback over? Because Marcus Mariota looked pretty good out there, Ryan.
He did. And I was happy to see it. And I had totally forgotten about the bowl prediction until Breach reminded me, with the text message there as soon as he came in. And then he made that fantastic throw to Darren Waller for the touchdown, made a bunch of really good throws. You forget how good of an athlete he is and how, I remember in the offseason, I wanted the Steelers to sign him. I feel like right now he would be the cure to their running game, but, he did have some mistakes. He had the interception, which he threw behind Zay Jones. It wasn't clear if Zay Jones was supposed to sit down or keep going, but either way, I think Chris Harris intercepted it. But Marcus Mariota's athleticism saved the play. He made the tackle at the 25 yard line. I think eventually, Money Badger, worst name ever, honked the kick. And then he made a throw in overtime that should have been intercepted, but it was dropped again, I think, by Hayward maybe. But, yeah, there was a lot to like. I can't fault him too much for the couple bad throws. There was no preseason. He'd taken like 5 snaps the whole year. He came in there and just started dealing, and he very much gave the Raiders a chance to win that game, but clearly it didn't work out.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think you can really fault him all. This is the first time he's thrown more than one pass in a game since October 2019. So it'd been over a year. As you said, there's no preseason. So you're just kind of throw him into the fire. The whole Derek Carr thing happened so quickly. And, you know, you see your starting quarterback gets injured, somebody who rarely hasn't missed any time all season. You might think, hey, he can come back out. They were even saying on the broadcast, Troy Aikman's like, this is a little weird. Marcus Mariota hasn't started warming up. So if he's going in, that seems a little weird, especially since he hasn't played football in a year. And he went out and he just was a baller. I mean, I was shocked at how well he played. And I will say, in his defense, his last probably year and a half with the Titans, he was never fully healthy. And, you know, there were times earlier this year where Nathan Peterman was the Raiders' backup quarterback because I think John Gruden didn't think Mariota was fully healthy. And then all of a sudden, you know, we saw what he can do when he is fully healthy. He brings this extra he can run the ball. He brings the mobility. He brings that extra dynamic skill set that you really need in today's game that, you know, you're Lamar Jackson, you're Kyler Murray, you're Russell Wilson. And, you know, who knows? Maybe next game he flops because, you know, the Chargers weren't watching film of Mariota. They went in there, totally surprised him. So who knows if this will carry over to next week. But for this one game, I think if you're Gruden, you're like, all right, well, now we can see over the next 2 weeks how good this guy is because we gave him a lot of money.
Yeah. I think the thing with Mariota, and this sort of goes under the radar sometimes, is that a quarterback, and this works both college, pro, you know, whatever level, you know, you come in post injury and you just sort of jump in there and the adrenaline of replacing a guy and the lack of preparation for maybe the different characteristics. Cause Mariota is definitely a better runner than Derek Carr. You know, he's like a faster, more athletic, more accurate, Derek Carr who wears less mascara. You know, he was, sorry, that was unnecessary. But he was like, John Gruden was calling plays that were just like designed to utilize his legs throughout the entire game. And that changes how the defense is going to play. The Chargers clearly had no answer for him. The move in hindsight, honestly, when Derek Carr went down, was to live bet the over, and it barely got there. But still, like, the way Mariota was playing and the way that Gruden was using him and how aggressive Gruden was on fourth downs, clearly they were going to score a bunch of points. And I don't know. This really muddies the waters for Las Vegas. I thought Derek Carr had played well enough where, you know, Josina Anderson's out there tweeting Darren Carr, like, oh, where are the people who said your brother would be gone after this year? Like, he wasn't going to be gone. He was sticking around. There's no way the Raiders were going to get rid of Derek Carr this offseason. He was, they're going to be their quarterback for 2021. And then maybe you draft somebody, maybe you figure it out, but he wasn't going to be cut this offseason or traded. And now I think, I mean, look, we'll see how severe this injury is, but if you could have Marcus Mariota for $10 million next year and you think he can operate your offense, that's basically the equivalent of having a rookie quarterback on a 1-year deal. I mean, except he's more experienced. It's a pretty valuable concept.
And Derek Carr's dead cap is only $2.5 million.
That's one part of it. So, I mean, and he's only making $19 million. The other part, as Breach noted, is that Mariota struggled to stay healthy. So, yeah, you can roll with Mariota, who only had 1 year left on his deal. If plan B is Nathan Peterman, then that's not a plan B. I'm bringing Derek Carr back. He's only going to be 30. I bring them both back. They're both cheap. $19 million plus $10 million. That's $29 million for two guys.
Well, I have no problem. Are you saying bring back Mariota as a starter and Derek Carr as
Bring back Derek Carr. I mean, Derek Carr is the starter. As you pointed out, he played well this year. I don't think Mariota had a great game.
I feel like tonight was a –
I think Breach made another good point. Let's see what happens in the next 2 weeks. Because a lot of times these guys are red hot, and then they come back to earth pretty quick.
Like the Chargers did zero prep work for a quarterback who can run. They were not ready.
I hate to break it to you. The Chargers did zero prep work in the sense. The Chargers did zero prep work. Full stop. I mean, Derek Carr could run the ball perfectly fine. He was running.
I'll give you two fun facts real quick. Number one, Mariota finished with 88 rushing yards. Derek Carr's career high, 58. And Mariota didn't even start the game. Fun fact number two, Mariota is the first QB to throw for 200 or more yards and rush for 75 or more yards in a game he did not start.
That is a fun fact. I don't know. I'm not trying to bury Derek Carr.
You've been trying to do that for like 5 years.
No, but I mean, I just think that John Gruden had gotten to a place where he's like, all right, you know, like I'm kind of happy, you know, like I'm kind of happy with Derek Carr and this will work, even though this doesn't give you the upside. Mike Mayock loves Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, but if they loved Marcus Mariota and were like, yeah, lukewarm on Derek Carr, he would have been out a while ago, is my feeling.
He's played too well. I mean, they were 7-6 coming into this game.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, but they were playing really well up until the last four games, and their offense had been sputtering.
But now it's a no-brainer to play Mariota the next 2 weeks, right? No matter what Carr's health situation is, because like there's no reason to risk his health further, and then also you can see what you have in Mariota.
The only reason you wouldn't is if there are contractual escalators beyond that first game. But I believe he's already activated everything, right? So if he played more than 60% of snaps in a single game, he turns his salary next year into $10 million. You kind of got to make a decision now. Like you can't bring them both back if his salary is $10 million.
Why? It's $29 million total. Who cares? That's cheaper than Kirk Cousins.
$19 million?
Yeah.
His base salary? Really?
Right. Base salary is $19 million in 2021 and 2022.
Crazy. Okay. Anyway. I don't know. I think this is an interesting couple of weeks for the future of the Raiders at the quarterback position. Because
their bigger concern is if they keep one of those guys, they should make him a safety because their defense sucks.
Oh, their defense is awful. Awful. I mean, they can't stop anybody.
What do you think Paul Gunther was thinking watching this game?
It's like, it ain't my fault, bro. If I have fun, Rod.
He's our winner.
Yeah, he's a good winner.
He's still a winner.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll actually talk about the game. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
CBS Wednesday. We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, so the game itself, again, you know, the Derek Carr injury, huge. It's pretty rare for a primetime game like this to where a quarterback in the playoff hunt suffers an injury that potentially could knock him out for more than just the second half of the game, and you come away from the game. Like by the end of the game, I wasn't even thinking about Derek Carr. I was thinking about how annoying Anthony Lynn is and how terrible at his job he is. I cannot fathom a world in which you have to root for Anthony Lynn. Like, what am I doing betting on Anthony Lynn? I can't believe they covered. I can't believe they won the game. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has no earthly idea how to functionally operate as a head coach on the sidelines. And it's hard. I get it. It's a really hard job. But all you have to do is find a 15-year-old who has a copy of Madden and hire him, give him a headset, and let him tell you when to call timeout, when not to run the damn ball on set. Like Justin Herbert is carving up this Raiders defense. They have no answer for him. He finished 22 of 32. He threw attempted one pass in the entire fourth quarter. What are you doing?
Did he complete it?
I don't know.
Wow.
No, I don't know.
He did not complete it. And
there you go.
Just to be clear, the Chargers had the ball twice in the fourth quarter. So this isn't like a situation where the Raiders had the ball the whole quarter and the Chargers ran.
And it's not like they were
did a three and
42
out.
To seven. I mean, it's a close game. What are you doing?
They ran 10 plays. And yeah, your quarterback's going nuts. And the Raiders have no one who can stop him. And you call one pass play. And not just that. We can go on about Anthony Lynn. He also didn't know when to use his timeout in overtime.
Oh, my God.
He finally used it.
He used it at the 25-second mark when 15 seconds had already run off the play clock.
But he did use it.
And then he iced his own kicker earlier in the game on the second field goal for Badgley. I think it was 51-yard.
The first one was 46.
In his defense.
Well, he iced him on the 46, right?
No, he iced him on the 51-yarder.
Okay, so Badgley misses the 46. And then the ensuing set of downs instead of the 51-yard field goal, they had
The 46-yarder is when they couldn't decide whether it was a 46 or 47. It ended up being a 47-yarder because the snapper couldn't decide where he wanted to stand. And that whole thing was, how do you mess that up? 7 yards behind the center, put your knee down, catch the ball, let him kick it.
Has Anthony Lynn still got his hands real knuckle deep in special teams? Is that happening this week?
Apparently. And he said on the second one, he called a timeout because he wanted to give his field goal team time to get situated.
He waited until the end. They were looking over there like, should we go? Should we go? Are we going? What's going on? Like, it's if you're playing golf. What's that? It's infuriating. But if you're playing golf with a buddy and he's got a huge putt, you know, like you're on the same team. Anthony Lynn has to help out Mike Badgley. You don't go up and pass him and be like, all right, what do you think? You gotta kind of read the room. You're a coach. Clearly Badgley.
It's like yelling in your buddy's backswing on the putt.
Yeah.
For a six footer. Hey, wait. One more thing.
Hold on. I'm away. I'll putt first. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you calling timeout? Let me get up here and get my rhythm. You're freaking me out, Anthony.
Anthony Lynn is basically Pete Prisco when he's your golf partner. Cause doesn't Pete, I remember Pete telling me he wanted you to lose while you guys were partners just cause he didn't like you.
That's correct. I've told that story before. All right. So I'm trying to find the.
While you tell that story, I will continue talking about it. Here's the thing that is confuses me about when I see Anthony Lynn and coaches like him do the things they do that make us all crazy is that every single thing that NFL teams do is so incredibly regimented from the front office. From how they scout players, from how they sign players, from how they work out players, from how they game plan, that it just defies common sense and logic that you wouldn't have a plan for when to use timeouts, how to utilize the clock properly. And it's not just Anthony Lynn. We were yelling about Andy Reid doing that for 25 years. It's just now that he's, got 25 Hall of Famers, it's a little easier. But there's much less leeway for coaches who don't have those type of playmakers. And it shows up time and time again. And I would guesstimate off the top of my head wins over Wilson that not very easily, but the Chargers could have 8 wins right now. They're 5-9.
Easily. They have 9 of 10. They're a playoff team with a better.
I don't think right,
so let me just say this real quick because yeah. You're saying they could have 10 wins. The Chargers have played 4 divisional games this year. Every single one of those games came down to the very last play. They lost to the Chiefs on a 58-yard field goal in overtime. They lost to the Broncos on that untimed down where Drew Lock threw a touchdown pass. And then they're lost to the Raiders in week 9. Herbert threw the touchdown pass that they reviewed and then overturned. And then tonight's game. So you're talking about just a completely bonkers divisional schedule. They could have won all those games. And if they do, you know, it's like you said, Ryan, they easily could have won 10 games.
Tonight was their first divisional win since December of 2018.
What are we doing? So here's the sort of the sequence that drives me nuts. Marcus Mariota makes that great running play in to score a rushing touchdown and tie it up at 24 all. Herbert, Austin Eckler runs for 30 yards. Herbert runs left for 12 yards. And they set it up and they got 1st and 10 at the Las Vegas 36. So they run Kalen Ballage off the right side, 2nd and 4. And then they do this stupid draw with Austin Eckler and they line up in it. And you look at it, you're like, oh my God, these a-holes are going to run a draw. And if I'm sitting at home, like lamenting the draw, you know who else is probably seeing the draw? The professional football coaches on the other side. And sure enough, they run a draw with Eckler up the middle. It gets stuffed. He gets for 2 yards. It's 3rd and 2. Herbert passing complete. Badgley misses the 47-yard field goal. Like on 2nd and 4, with that amount of time left, you got to give Herbert a couple of throws. They should have gone for it anyway.
Well, and that's the thing, Brinson, is that they played it. If you're not letting your quarterback throw, it's like you're trying to run out the clock and take the field goal. There was 6 minutes left. You're not running out the clock and kicking the field goal. The Raiders had all 3 of their timeouts. What are you thinking?
All right. This is not the end of the game. Your defense sucks. They're moving the ball at will on you. You have to go get a touchdown and win this game. So they played for a field goal with 6 minutes left, which is infuriating. They missed the field goal. The Raiders promptly march down the field. They're about to get in the red zone, and then Mariota shorts a pass to Zay Jones. Chris Harris picks it off, and they're lucky that Mariota was in the game, the Raiders, because Derek Carr ain't catching him. Chris Harris is blitzing down the right side. Mariota manages to tackle him, and that's the 2-minute warning. So then they have 1st and 10 at the Vegas 33. They run Austin Eckler up the middle. He gets 3 yards. Timeout Vegas. Then they run Austin Eckler up the middle again, or left side. Timeout Las Vegas. And then on 3rd and 2, they do the obvious thing. It's like everybody in the world knows, okay, you want to keep the clock moving, but you need to use Herbert's legs. Except the Raiders know that too, man. They're going to bring the heat. If you give Herbert 3 quick, short passing looks and let him pick one that's open, he's completing it. It might jailbreak for a touchdown. Worst case is you're going to have a short field goal. You're going to win the game. He's sacked. Badgley misses the 51-yard field goal. And then that's how, Yeah.
If there's no sack there and it's an incomplete pass, you're trying a 43-yard field goal instead. Right. I know Badgley is not good this year, but he's probably making a 43-yard field goal.
Yes. Yeah.
By the way,
okay, maybe.
What do you think the Los Angeles Chargers record was in 2018 without looking?
I know because they went to the playoffs.
Wait, 10-6.
12-4.
they went 12-4 with Anthony Lynn. Second year, his first year, he was 9-7. Last year, 5-11. Now they're 5-9.
Well, you heard him like earlier this year. He's like, you know, we've had a lot of success here. It's like, let's settle down.
But remember, the thing
everyone was picking them to beat the. That's how I got this stupid doll. Everyone was picking them to beat the Patriots in.
How dare you call that doll stupid? He's 31-31 as the Chargers coach. That's after perfect. Two winning seasons, he's had two.
You good. Have to fire him.
It's not my call.
Would you fire him?
I need more from a coach. I'll just put it that way. I mean, here, let's go through this.
If he looks like Matt Patricia, are you firing him?
No, if he looks like he does and calls me a slob, I would fire him. Yes.
I think the problem for Anthony, the problem for the Chargers is ownership is a disaster. They suck. They've always sucked. That's the reason. There's a reason the Chargers suck. Two, Anthony Lynn is a good man by all accounts, beloved in the locker room, does a ton of work off the field, charitable work. And I mean, they don't want to fire somebody that the team loves and all of that, but he's a bad football coach.
Who would you bring in?
Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, but he can't bring him in for every job. So let's say he's off the.
If I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm taking the Chargers job.
He's a former Charger.
I'm 100% taking the Chargers job if I'm Eric.
The best job, and it's not close.
I think that's right.
Herbert in his second year, the way he's played in the second year on a rookie deal with a competent offensive line. Our boy Dan Feeney, friend of the podcast. Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry is on a franchise tag, so maybe he's not back, but Joey Bosa signed. I mean, Derwin James coming back. Yeah, it's the best job. I mean, you got to play in. You know, Mahomes' division, but.
And Bieniemy didn't just play for the Chargers. He was drafted by them.
Yeah. I think if he got offered the Chargers job, he would take it. I hate the idea that, like, there are not many black coaches right now and not many black personnel guys. And again, Anthony, I can't stress this enough. Anthony Lynn is a good person. So you hate the idea that, like, you fire another one and, like, you don't, you know, it's not good for the coaching cycle. But I mean, he's just sucks at the in-game coaching stuff. He's awful.
Yeah, and that's not exclusive to Anthony Lynn. Like I said, we were saying about Andy Reid until he started winning games. We said about everyone except Belichick, basically.
Anthony Lynn's pretty bad, dude.
No, he's not great. Don't get me wrong.
I feel like we have this conversation every week about the Chargers doing something stupid.
Yeah. I'm not making excuses for Anthony Lynn. I'm not making excuses for Anthony Lynn. But
a lot of people danced on Philip Rivers' grave when he left, blamed him for all the problems with the Chargers last year.
He sucked last year. That had nothing to do with Anthony Lynn and everything to do with Philip Rivers sucking.
Well, Philip Rivers is fine now with a good coaching staff.
He's better.
And the Chargers still suck.
If Justin Herbert's better than Rivers, they're 4-9.
Yeah. Why? How are you 5-9 with Justin Herbert playing like this?
There are no, I mean, Breach laid out how you lost all those games you shouldn't have lost. They should not have lost to the Chiefs. And I say that solely as a Steelers fan.
Well, and the funny thing is that many of their wins were miraculous. Go back to week one against the Bengals. Play the clip, Renton. Play the clip.
He missed. Oh, and he may have pulled a hamstring or a and there is complete elation.
If he misses that, that's a loss right there. They barely beat the Jets. They only beat the Jets by 6 points. And then obviously that Falcons game, Matt Ryan melted down with 4 minutes left in the
Anthony
game.
Anthony Lynn was coaching with 6 minutes left, like there was 35 seconds left and the Raiders had one timeout and the game was tied. He doesn't understand the fundamental aspects of coaching football as a head coach. I think he's a very good coach of football, but in terms of a game manager, and that's a big freaking deal for head coaches.
Yeah, I disagree. Yeah. I mean, that's, it's not even like the hidden part of the game. It's quite obvious that that's an important part of the game that you need to master. And if you can't master it, and I say it all the time, wherever you're located, in this case, Los Angeles, go to UCLA, go to USC. There are millions of colleges in the area. You can find some smart kids that are stats majors that can help you solve all your problems. But
you can find somebody so fast and just give them a headset and a microphone and be like, listen, I want you to tell me when we go on fourth down, like, it's like
here's the fourth down. And this is the first decision he made that really blew my mind when he kicked a 22-yard field goal in the first half. Your team is 4-9. You are out of the playoff hunt. All you are here to do is win games. You have a fourth and goal from the other team's other 4-yard line, and it's only 10-7. It's not like if it's a 3-point game with 30 seconds left and you want to send it to overtime, whatever. Go for the touchdown here. It is the first half. There's plenty of football left. You should never, if your team sucks, you send out your offense and you go for it on fourth and goal from the 40-yard line. You do not kick a 22-yard field goal, which was, the only one Michael Badgley made.
So the Raiders outgained the Chargers.
Not by
449 to 402, but the Chargers averaged 6.5 yards per play to the Raiders 6.0. The way that game ended at halftime, when you got to half and it was 17-10 Chargers, and Anthony Lynn did one good thing and called timeouts. Everybody's like, oh, what is he doing? Why is he calling timeouts just to run the football three times? But he called timeouts and let Herbert take shots down the field. And they have a 17-10 lead. Their backup quarterback's in, man. You're getting the ball. Be aggressive and blow this team out. They are reeling. They're backpedaling. Throw a jab. Throw a haymaker and get out of there with a win. And he just didn't know. He went conservative in the second half. It's crazy. Don't ever bet on Anthony Lynn or the Chargers again. Oh, gross.
Huh.
All right. Anything else? I mean, neither of these teams are going to the playoffs, right? We're done.
Who was the worst coach in that game, Gruden or Anthony Lynn?
Oh, Anthony Lynn by far.
Yeah, he won.
What did Gruden do that was so bad?
That end of the drive touchdown, end of the half touchdown, you were just talking about the Chargers. Gruden basically just punted on that possession. They took over with
I think he thought Lynn was going to run the ball three times.
But you have Mariota, who's been going up and down the field. He'd been so good, and you had a minute 52 to work with, and instead you run that draw on first down. So you're letting the clock tick. You don't run your next play until a minute 20. By then, it's pretty clear you're not trying to do anything. Why are you just giving the ball back to the Chargers when you have all this time? You should be the one going down trying to score. That was insanity that they let that happen. There were just, and also he challenged the 2-yard gain, which is fine because he won the challenge. But then guess what? Like 5 plays later, they had the incomplete where Guyton almost caught it and then Mullen just took it away from him in the end zone. It was called incomplete. You're challenging a 2-yard gain. Challenge that because if you win that challenge.
That was bad. That was really bad.
You might get the interception. No, I thought it was close. I thought they might have changed it to an interception.
I would have challenged a 2-yard thing. I get that, but he was
out. 2-yard challenge was like, what are you doing? Like, you're just mad.
Trayvon Mullen was out of bounds. It was a good play. Sadly for Trayvon Mullen, one of the few good plays he had.
It's fine. Like they made a mistake. The officials do it all the time. Don't just because something's like there's no leverage to. It's first down and it's second and eight. Just don't challenge it.
No, I'm talking about the end zone one.
Oh yeah, I got you. That's fine. Yeah,
I would challenge it.
Well, that's why you're sitting in a basement with a little tiny Christmas tree behind you.
Jeez.
That Christmas tree. This is forced perspective. It's actually 8 feet high, Wilson.
Well played. Hey, so randomly as we get out of here, the Rams, the other LA team, faces the Jets. Do you think if Aaron Donald's name was Aaron Darnold, he would suck? Well, I've been thinking about that because I heard Sam Darnold say that he's looking forward to playing Aaron Donald.
Because the same?
No, their names are different. Aaron Darnold would be a terrible football player.
I thought you were suggesting that Sam Darnold was being like, I can't wait to play Aaron Donald. Our names sound similar.
No, they were just asking about him potentially getting sacked 10 times.
Who wants to play Aaron Donald?
He should have said, I would love to play Aaron Darnold. I don't want to play Aaron Donald because Aaron Darnold is a terrible football player.
I had one more thing to say about Gruden, too.
Okay.
The Oakland hat?
Well, the Oakland hat, but 2018, final 6 games, Raiders went 2-4. Last year, final 6 games, 1-5. This year, they're 1-4 right now. Ooh. And it would be 0-5 if not for a Hail Mary where Greg Williams called the worst possible defense in the history of football. So, I mean, you're looking at these end of season collapses where, you know, it happens once, you say,
and
that's
they would have lost
luck.
The Jets in back-to-back seasons.
Right. That 34-3 loss in 2019, which was part of that end of season collapse. We're looking at 3 years in a row of end of season collapses. Is that on John Gruden? Is that on Derek Carr? You know, we talk about firing Anthony Lynn. I know Florio wrote something today about how Gruden's never on the hot seat. And so you never really hear his name.
He has a 10-year contract.
Yeah, exactly. He's not on the hot seat.
Okay, but how many years do you get where
him?
You can collapse and you can collapse at the end of every season and keep your job.
He's got 7 more. Yes.
And no, I would not fire Gruden. I would absolutely keep him at least next year. But if you have a fourth year in a row of collapses, if he collapses again next year, you give him four collapses in a row and keep him.
By the way, I love that John Breach is willing to hang with John Gruden. He ain't firing Zach Taylor for no reason. I'll give John Gruden three more weeks and we'll see how it goes.
It's like, hey, Gruden's been there for 3 years. What do you need from this guy? It's like Zach Taylor's won three games, bro. He's been there.
Well, Zach Taylor has the same arguments as Anthony Lynn. He's been in a bunch of one score games that he's lost because of bad coaching. And so if you're the coach talking to the owner saying, look, I put these guys in a position to win, you throw your team under the bus and say, it's not my fault. And that's, Zach Taylor and Anthony Lynn are the same person, except that Anthony Lynn beat him because
of Anthony Lynn with 12 hamstring. Except Anthony Lynn with 12 and 4 in 2018.
That's true.
I don't buy into the. All right, so you're hearing Gruden. I thought Florida's wearing a buttoned up. Sims does that thing where he buttons the top collar. It drives me nuts. I hate that. Mm-hmm. So Florio's like, the team has combined records of 4-12, 7-9, and 7-6. So they're improving every year. They don't have the personnel there right now. Their roster was barren, and he stripped it down. He got rid of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and that's on him.
Their draft picks ain't exactly been slam dunks. Cleve Farrell hasn't quite.
But that
out.
4-12 record was worse than what Jack Del Rio did the year before. The 6-10.
That's
the Caldwell Matt Patricia.
12-4 team was the biggest.
It counts.
No, I'm saying after the 12-4, they went 6-10. They went 6-10.
What's that?
You say rim shot?
No, I said it counts. The 12-4 counts. The worst part of the Jack Del Rio thing is they made him announce the fact that he was getting fired and replaced.
Oh, that was the 2 years before. 2012 was yeah. I just don't. I don't understand. Florio is just creating a pain.
Well, like, no, I wasn't going to bring it up until we see another end of, like, just, I'm telling you, you can't be collapsing at the end of every season.
The reason he's not on the hot seat is he's a 10-year, $100 million contract.
No, we agree with that, but where should this team be next year? What should their record be next year?
I think you'd like to see them 10-6.
Yeah,
I was going to say 9 wins. I mean,
if they're 6-10 or 5-11, what's?
I just don't.
He ain't getting fired, but there's
some. Yeah, you're not getting rid of Gruden. You're absolutely keeping him for at least 2 more years. But you need, if you're Mark Davis, you at least need to like think in your head. All right, there's got to be some sort of threshold here. I can't just keep him through the 10 years because I have a man crush on John Gruden. I've got to say, all right, if this guy fails me for 2 more years, I got to think about making a move.
Yeah, it's like you love the supermodel. You guys get married. You're not going to stick with her for 10 years if 3 years in she's cheating on you and, you know, she sucks and she's never home. You're going to be like, all right.
This Raiders team is – I feel like the Raiders have consistently gotten better since Gruden got there from where they started.
John Gruden. It's not Zach Taylor. I think you would expect more of a turnaround.
They lost to the Falcons 43-6. They almost lost to the Jets. Like, they're not – they're getting worse.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, they're not playing well at the end of the season. I think that speaks to like coaching them up early. They've had a ton of injuries. I don't really get.
Whoa. These are some sorry.
Brenton defending the Raiders.
I know.
I just don't think
you said he coached them up early. So that's like, so he hasn't prepared for September, but they don't show up in December. Good job, John.
Look, nobody wants to bury the Raiders as much as I do.
I don't know. That sounds like it.
I just think the idea that like talking about John Gruden being on the hot seat is asinine.
Coached him up early in the head injury.
$70 million to go away and hire somebody else. What are you talking about?
Breach isn't saying that, but he is asking the question of what should we expect from a team that John Gruden won a Super Bowl. He was really good with the Raiders back in the '90s.
All right, would the Cowboys trade John Gruden for Mike McCarthy or trade Mike McCarthy for John Gruden?
The Cowboys would, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Cowboys would do that deal in a second.
The Cowboys
would trade.
The Cowboys would trade Mike McCarthy for Anthony Lynn.
Ouch. They would take Zach Taylor.
The Cowboys would be 3-3 after they win tonight, and they have a path to 9 wins.
Nine wins. Don't forget it.
The Raiders go 9-7. That's Florio drumming up some. That is Florio clickbait.
Yeah, he's not getting fired, but it is.
Florio didn't write about how horrible Gruden has been at the end of seasons. That's me adding to Florio's point to say that it is a valid point. That's you just look. You can't collapse at the end of every season. That's it.
I understand. I understand what the point of what Florio is saying, which is like this isn't a criticism of Gruden. It's curiosity about a football coaching unicorn. He's like, Anthony Lynn went 12-4 2 years ago. Many believe he'll be fired. There's an article in, Rich Samini of the Jets was writing about what will happen with the Jets and coaches. And so they're like, well, if Doug Peterson's fired by the Eagles, it's like he won a Super Bowl 3 years ago. You know what I mean? So look, I get it. It's crazy. It is insane. But when you give a guy a 10-year, $100 million contract, you are committing to him for 7 years. Bare minimum.
That is how contracts work.
I just think you can't eat that deal. The Raiders aren't the Cowboys. They aren't the richest franchise in the NFL. You are locked into John Gruden for 7 years minimum.
So if you give someone a 5-year contract, are you locked in for 3.5? Boom, you got to keep Zach Taylor then.
Yes.
Got you there, man.
A 5-year deal for how much?
Probably not $100 million.
Probably not $50 million.
It's definitely not $50 million. It's probably
Breach. He didn't get $10 million a year to coach the Bengals.
Yeah, but it's probably like $50 million. It feels like $50 million to Mike Brown because he's a cheapskate.
Let's see. We need to find out what Zach Taylor's contract is. Sean Wagner. Oh, here's one. Sean Wagner McGuff, February 4th, 2019. Bengals officially hires Zach Taylor as new coach the morning after the Rams Super Bowl stinker.
That was a stinker.
What's Wallace took it in his hands and said, up and away, 52, Dunkaroos.
Debo just banging the let's get out button.
I'm just trying to find what his contract is. Debo.
So with the Raiders out of the playoffs, that means we've got 8 teams for 7 slots in the AFC. So that makes it more fun.
Yep. All right, that's it. That's the show. Reminder, we will be recapping Saturday's two games on Saturday night. Of course, we'll have Sunday night's recap. Thanks for listening. As always, subscribe, rate, and review for John and Ryan. I'm Will. See you later.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.